you know, we've got to keep saying, what is this replacing or displacing? And we've got to really use technology to enhance our lives, but not take the place of critical things that we need to be healthy and flourishing people.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Welcome to another Baby Brunch podcast. I'm Ilana Afrika Brennenkamp. Today we're going to be chatting to Sarah Hoffman. But before we even get into our amazing conversation about digital and AI and me, myself, and AI, it's time to say thank you to our support.
The Curaprox teething ring with integrated training toothbrush helps your child prepare for the day they start brushing their teeth. The Curaprox teething ring also promotes the development of sensory and motor skills. Join the Curaprox movement. Let's celebrate a billion healthy smiles, which will result in a billion healthy bodies and minds, making oral health contagious.
This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior gentle all-purpose emollient moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with EpiMax. Sarah is passionate about technology. She's been on the show before, and she helps educating and empowering people to foster healthy digital habits and enhance productivity in their parenting and, of course, child development. What's awesome about her is she's the co-founder of Clickt. You can follow them because we've got their details in our social media post. She is a mother of three and she enjoys a good cup of coffee. I did not make you one.
That's fine. I've had a lot today.
You've got a lot of things that you do in schools. What are you planning for 2025?
So the company that I co-founded called Clickt, K-L-I-K-D, I founded with a psychologist. And basically we run ongoing programs in schools to teach students and their parents how to manage the online world, to teach them about using AI, to teach them how to recognize predators online, to teach them how to manage cyberbullying, to teach them how to protect their digital reputation. These are such important life skills now that they've got to be integrated into the curriculum. And we've got to also help parents and give parents the tools because it's just changing all the time. So our programs give students the information in forms of lessons and send weekly updates to parents. So you can check it out on our website.
Sarah, you know what was scary for me in this situation? I was like, why are we even talking AI and parenting? And I'm sure I'm not the only one asking this question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Ilana, you know, I think as women, and I'm going to talk more as a context from a woman's perspective, because we both are women, I think there's more of a hesitation when it comes to technology. There historically has been a gender gap.
Why?
You know, I don't know why, but I don't want AI to be the same. I really don't, because I want to talk about today how we as women and mothers can use AI to actually enhance our parenting and make our lives easier, actually, and just try to get a little bit more on top of all the million balls we are typically juggling.
Should we fear technology?
I think it is a historical thing, but what I'm hoping that out of today, everyone listening to the show can go home and try one thing on an AI platform. I'm going to tell you what to do. That makes your life just a little bit easier. Okay. And I think once you get over that block, that mental block, you will see just how many ways and how vast opportunities are to use AI to make your life a bit easier, actually.
So the question is, how would AI make my life as a parent better? How can AI support parents on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, so firstly, there are tons of tools, right, that you probably don't even know are using AI, tools that you use already. Most people listening probably have Gmail. Gmail's got AI integrated it. You know those little prompts that say, do you want to improve this? Or okay, Don't you need to respond to this email now? That's AI powered. We don't even realize. Right. Google Maps, which we often use, has AI. But I think that's not the stuff that we're really talking about today. And it's not the stuff that people are scared of. Mm-hmm. There are lots of very fancy apps that use AI. I've got a fancy baby monitor that gives me insights on my baby's sleep. It's kind of freaky sometimes, but really cool. But honestly, I think the tool that has the most value, because it's so vast in how we can apply it, is ChatGPT, because we can do so many things with ChatGPT and it can do so many things to make our lives easier. And let's be honest, we as women, we have this I think there's like a badge of honor in thinking we can do it all, we must do it all, and we must do it all ourselves.
I will not use AI because I will use my own words.
Exactly. But I think we have to move away from that because it's, you know, it's, and I think if we don't start using AI, it's going to be like you riding a bicycle to work and everyone else is using a motor car because there just are ways that we can use it to improve things and make things that we're slogging our way doing a lot quicker and more efficient.
What are some of the most innovative AI-powered tools and apps currently? I mean, when you talked about a baby monitor, immediately I wanted to go, which app are you using? You know, because you're the expert. And if Sarah's using it and you know what's safe and what isn't,
sure,
I want in.
No, they're amazing platforms. They're parental controls that can, you know, send you alerts if you have older kids who have their own phones, if there's any dangerous content. They're family planning apps. There's period tracking apps that, you know, help you schedule your exercise around when you have most energy. But really, I'm going to come back to ChatGPT because I think the applications are so vast and ChatGPT is actually an AI language that a lot of the other platforms use. So let's go back to what you were saying. How can we use it as parents to make our lives easier? So I'll give you a few examples. I was playing around. So the other day I was planning to have some family over for dinner and I knew I was going to make chicken soup and I was going to make, I think, lamb stew and I was going to have a fruit platter. And I knew I had to make a shopping list and I popped in everything I wanted to make for dinner. I said, I'm also having two people who are gluten intolerant, and I'm going to have eight people for dinner. This is what I'm making. Please write me a shopping list separated by categories. Boom. There it was. That's the kind of thing I would do on my own normally. And I'd write down list by list and I'd go through it.
And it makes would take you 3 hours.
Quickly. I'll give you another example. Right. Homework. A lot of us sit and have to do homework with our kids. So I was chatting to someone this morning. And she said, oh, she's struggling. She's really not good at maths. And she doesn't know how she's supposed to teach her grade four kid long division because she can't do it. She's just, it's not her thing. So you can go into ChatGPT and say, please help me explain long division to my 8-year-old or 9-year-old or 10, whatever. And give examples. I mean, there's so many things that it can do that we don't even realize it can do. Budgeting, scheduling, lift scheduling. I mean, the opportunities in a professional context are enormous. You know, what I often do for work is if I'm crafting an email, I might pop it into ChatGPT and say, please improve this. And then they'll deliver the same email using my tone, using my language, but just it's tighter. The grammar's better. It just takes it from
a... Did you use ChatGPT to write my email to me?
I actually did use it to... you know, when your producer said, give me some suggestions for talking points in this discussion, listen, I would never submit something ChatGPT churned out without checking it, without making it my own. But it certainly is often a very good framework. Okay. Or sometimes it can enhance a product that you've initially created.
So look, I am saying that, and I know I'm looking really shocked at every response that Sarah is giving at the moment, but I did use it the other day. So my daughter had to do additional language begripstoets for grade four, and she needed an example. And I asked ChatGPT, give me an example of a grade four additional language begripstoets with questions. And it did. It gave her a beautiful story about Die Hund. And she had questions and we did it. And I thought, okay, this is quite useful. But I did that knowing that I would see you today and that I would tell you this story and kind of ask, should I?
At the end of the day, I think, first of all, my big question when parents ask me about screen time and about any technology, not just ChatGPT, is what is it displacing? In your context, it's not taking the place of, you doing homework with her. Mm-hmm. It's not taking the place of your daughter learning. It's not doing the assignment for her. Right. It's maybe, if anything, I'd say, for you as a parent, it's making your life a bit easier so that you didn't have to think of the begripstoet stuff yourself because you've got 400 other things to do. So for me, this is a tool for women, honestly, that can help us alleviate the mental load a little bit and just make things go a little bit smoother, more efficiently, and free up some mental bandwidth, which is such a scarce resource for us.
Would you say that AI could help parents achieve a better work, family, personal life balance?
Certainly in some aspects. Look, AI is not the messiah and we can't, it's not going to ever replace personal relationships. It's not going to replace a whole lot of things. Although we must come back to how people are using AI as online therapists. We'll talk about that later. But I certainly think with some of the examples I've given you, in terms of freeing up mental space, in terms of giving you a bit more time because it can do things more efficiently that you might slog through before, it really can be a tremendous tool. Instead of manually writing the lifting schedule that you're doing, let ChatGPT do it. Instead of, it can help you with your budgeting. It's an amazing tool to help you with your budgeting. Right. If you want to know, you know, how to forecast something, can you afford something? Can you afford, you know, what are the, how do you compare? A lovely example someone was telling me is they were choosing between two extracurricular activities for their kids. One was gymnastics and one was, I can't actually remember, but they're
violin.
Violin. And they said, my child is interested in doing gymnastics seriously or being a pro violinist. Could you give me a cost breakdown approximately for the activities and what will be needed? And it will give you that sort of information. So it really,
it can be useful.
It can be so useful.
Is there ChatGPT and then there's similar tools? So like, should we look out for imitations? Is there one that's going to steal our identity or try and replace our, I don't know.
Like. Sure. So, you know, I think the big risk with a lot of these AI platforms is what are they going to do with our data? And they are machines that learn, that, you know, ChatGPT as well. So we have to be careful, you know, what information we're putting in there. If I was an author writing a book, for example, I wouldn't want to put my whole book into ChatGPT because who's going to see it? Who's going to adopt that tone and who's going to use that IP? We don't know. But ChatGPT is certainly a reputable AI platform to use. You know, I think if you, there will be more and more AI products available, and I think it's always worth checking them out. And it always, we always need to be cautious with what information we are giving them and what information they're giving us and how we use that, because at the end of the day, the AI bots are bots and they're not human and they often can give wrong information, and they can, and you know, we can't rely entirely on the information they give us. There was a case about a year ago where a lawyer used ChatGPT for his or his entire legal argument in New York. And the judge found out that the cases didn't exist. But the language that he had used in these in his papers was so compelling and so convincing, he didn't bother to verify the cases. And he was fined because he didn't do the real work. So,
sure. Can one create or develop an unnatural relationship? I'm just thinking about the relationship with phones and technology, you know? You know what I found over the past week? Because school became more pressing for the girls more recently, I found that I was on my phone more. And last night I checked myself. I was like, you're on your phone more this past week. So I kind of parked the phone again because I don't like my phone that much. I mean, could one develop a unnatural and unhealthy relationship with AI where you almost feel a little bit more dependent on this bot, thinking that it's a person?
Absolutely. So I think what we really have to keep in mind is that it's meant to augment our learning and it's meant to augment our development. It's not meant to replace that. It's not meant to replace us as people. But in terms of unhealthy relationships, something I was thinking about when you were saying that is where it can certainly get unhealthy is there's some platforms like Instagram and Snapchat that now have these very realistic looking bots. So Instagram has something called Character AI, where they've partnered and actually paid celebrities like Kendall Jenner, for example, and Paris Hilton to have these bots. So you'd log on, you'd follow their profile. And so Kendall Jenner's bot is called Billy, and you can talk to her and she responds. It's like a video, and they're so realistic. And a lot of, especially the kids and teens who are vulnerable, you know, they're getting all the stuff that they're not getting in the real world from these bots.
Because you have a friend now. And
you have
she's
a friend
famous.
And she's famous and she's nice to you and she answers you and she's telling you
and
that
she's pretty.
And she's so pretty. So I think, you know, we've got to keep saying, what is this replacing or displacing? And we've got to really use technology to enhance our lives, but not take the place of critical things that we need to be healthy and flourishing people. Like we all need in-person relationships,
yeah,
where you look someone in the eye, you know. So I think that's the way we've got to look at it.
You know, I'm thinking of most of us that are extremely conservative. You know, I'm still very reliant on holy books and you know, values for me are the basis of life. Like I love nurturing and raising kids. Yeah. Is there a place for this for us? I mean, do we need it?
I think so. I think that the world we live in is fast-paced and it's digital and we're busy, you know, especially with young kids. We're both sitting here today. We're both professionals. Mm. We are juggling lots of balls.
Oh, yeah.
The mental load is a thing. And I keep coming back to the reason this actually excites me is because I just see the opportunity for being more efficient, for putting more systems in place and for just freeing up a bit of that mental space. So another thing I do quite often, which is another use of AI, if I'm on the go, if I'm busy, I use my Siri voice dictation to write down notes of things to do. So my notes in my phone are on my kind of rule my life. I write everything that I need to do on my notes. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to do it if I'm driving or if I'm busy or if I'm, you know. So that's also quite it comes back to time saving. So dictate the notes using Siri. And I also think there's some lovely ways that we can foster that family connection using these tools. I think we have to stop thinking of technology as
a separation.
It's all negative.
Breaking
it's all bad.
Look,
there's a lot of bad and there are a lot of risks. And we've been on this very show talking about some of those things. But I think if we only focus on that, it's going to drive a divide between us and our kids. So I think it's quite important, actually, to use technology also as points of connection. And there's some really fun ways that you can do that with your kids, no matter what age they're at.
So we're actually using AI sometimes without knowing that you're actually using it. So the moment you talked about dictating notes to your phone, I was like, I do that all the time. What is it if your phone has that circle that, I mean, is it really listening to everything that you're doing?
So that's the age-old question. I mean, Apple says no, that it's not. But sometimes there's so many coincidences in terms of we don't know what they're doing with that information in terms of targeted adverts. That's for sure. And I think sometimes some of the targeted adverts we see after we've used voice platforms are just too coincidental. So I would still be wary around, you know, telling Siri your deepest, darkest, most confidential secrets or your ID number or your credit card details. But it really can be a massive time saver.
AI and technology is something that we actually can't escape.
Completely.
So instead of thinking that it's the enemy.
Yeah, I think we have to think about it as the modern day calculator, right? You know, when the calculator came out, everyone was nervous. Everyone was worried. No one's going to be able to do maths again. No one's going to be able to think again. And this is actually a very good analogy because it answers a lot of people's concerns. So the one big thing we worried about with AI is firstly, our children won't ever think again. They're not going to be. So again, the calculator, I'm not giving my 8-year-old in grade 3 a calculator right now. She must learn how to do the arithmetic. She must flex those muscles. But me and you,
hey,
do we need to use
a
paper and pen to do long division right now? We're going to pull out the calculator. No. Why? It's saving us time. And I think it's the same.
Ask Siri.
You know, and I think we've got to think about it in the same way. You know, it's got to augment that learning, but then we've got to use it to enhance our life and make our lives easier and more productive. I think that's how we have to see it.
What are some of the tools that you're enjoying right now? I mean, you are like the CEO of digital. I mean, if you had to look at your phone right now, what are some of the things that if I had to go through your album, you know, which picture am I choosing? If I had to go through your phone, which app would I want?
Honestly, it's mostly ChatGPT in terms of AI tools.
Right.
Because it's just so vast. Okay. I use it at work all the time. Just tightening up copy, tightening up text, improving, you know, any kind of written content that I do. Often use it at work. I'm a little bit ashamed to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you that I once used it to write a bereavement letter to someone, improve my letter. It wasn't insincere. I gave all the guidelines and I still personalized it, but you cannot believe how wonderful this letter was and how heartfelt and how beautiful. And there was, it really took my B plus letter
into
an A plus. So I use it in all spheres of my life. I've used it to make shopping lists, schedules. I actually used it the other day. I decided I wanted to start weight training. Completely in a non-professional context doing it. And so I wrote, I am interested in starting weight training. I am 40 years old. I want to do it 3 times a week for 30 minutes. This is the equipment I have at home. Can you write me a schedule? Boom. There it was.
Wow.
So it really can be an extraordinary tool in so many spheres of your life. And so vast. So I think it's just so worth. And another thing I love doing with it, sorry, I'm getting all excited because I geek out about this stuff. So I've used it before with my little kids to make fun bedtime stories. So I basically wrote, I said, write me a story about two children whose names are Rafaela and Aaron.
Oh, bless. Their
superpower is kindness. Mm. And the story should be 5 minutes long because we're tired. And they absolutely loved it. So there are a lot of fun ways. And when we spoke earlier in the show about building connection, that is one of the ways we can use technology to really build connection because my kids loved it.
Love the story. So at what ages do we introduce AI to our children? I mean, is it like a, and now I'm handing you the baton of AI? Or is it kind of, you make it part of life the same way that you say, try the broccoli if you don't like it?
So I think, you know, certainly when it comes to an academic tool, it's definitely not a handover. You know, we spoke about it earlier. I think there are certainly some foundational skills our kids really need to develop first before they just hand over and, you know, and hand over to AI to improve their work or start the foundations of it. But there are age-appropriate ways that we can integrate it. And I think with the focus of it not being the enemy and not being something dangerous only, but something that we do use in the appropriate circumstances. My kids love asking asking Alexa to make different kinds of farts.
Right.
Loudly. And play it.
Sounds like my game.
So, you know, I don't really have any issue with that. They have a lot of fun. They laugh hysterically. It's fun for the whole family. So it's really about age appropriate. And again, coming back to that question, what is it displacing?
Right. Do we make it, is it private? Do we talk about it with other people? Is it ethically, socially talked about?
Yeah, I don't think there's taboo around using ChatGPT. I mean, I think certainly some academic, in an academic context in schools, and ChatGPT is quite new. There's quite a lot of hesitation still.
Right.
Around kids using it, around plagiarism, around kids not learning how to think critically on their own, kids not doing their own essays. But I think we have to move away from that and really think about ways in which we can use it and integrate it without displacing those critical thinking skills. So use it to help, as you said earlier, you know, test for your homework or write the skeleton for an essay, but don't write the whole essay on your own. No. And schools are having to catch up and really approach it with a perspective that your kids are going to be using ChatGPT, but it's about putting frameworks in place for how they can use it and what's acceptable.
Are there reckless actions around the use of images and AI with children?
Absolutely.
How can we protect our household?
I'm so glad you asked this question, Lana, because one of the darker sides of AI is what we call deepfakes. And these are these images that look so convincing, but that are artificially generated. And unfortunately, what we're seeing so much of is deep fake nude images. Mm. This is where, you know, you've never been in a had any naked photo taken of you, but your face is superimposed right. using such convincing technology that everybody thinks it's real. And this is a real thing. We're seeing it a lot in the high schools. We're seeing a lot with, you know, these predators online creating deep fakes of young girls or boys and threatening them for money. It's really terrifying. And so everything you're doing around guarding around what kind of images are publicly available with your children is absolutely spot on. And I think now more than ever, we have to be so careful who can see the content of our children. Are our accounts private? Who are we sharing it with? What images are available? What identifying information is available in those photos? Now more than ever before, it's really a time to lock down on what we're sharing online and with who.
Is it AI and the fact that I downloaded this app and that I engaged with it that my Facebook and any other social media platform is hacked?
I don't actually know the answer to that question, but I know the hackers are getting clever and cleverer by the day. So there could well be a connection. I don't know.
In the holiday, I'm not on TikTok per se. I have someone that posts my TikTok. So this person, the TikTok, contacted one of my friends and had a conversation with her, told her my location. And it was very believable until there was one question that was posed and she realized that she's speaking to a bot.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, we hear those cases a lot. And I think, again, it comes down to really people having to be aware and knowledgeable and skilled. This is why we have to actually be having these conversations with our kids in school, at home, at the dinner table, because we can't put their heads under a rock and hope for the best, because these are very real risks if our kids are in a digital world. You know, there are fake images that are circulated. And I'm not just talking about, you know, these sinister ones, but in the news, there are bots that talk to us and try to scam us or to get information or money from us. And so, unfortunately, these really are skills that we have to build in our kids. They're not born with knowing these skills, so we have to build them out.
Build the skills that we're not born with. Sarah, I'm really enjoying this conversation. What's the biggest thing with a device that parents should be looking out for?
I think in this day and age, the biggest thing with a device is I think parents should delay personal device ownership. I'm not talking about letting your kids, you know, play a bit of games on the weekend on your device, but I think giving kids access to their own device from a peer pressure perspective, which so many parents do, and it's understandable because, you know, you don't want your kid to be excluded and the only one that can't talk. I think there's so much power in delaying as a group. So if we get more and more parents together to say, right, we're all delaying. We're all going to wait until high school to get our kids a device. You take that social pressure away and we can let our kids be kids for longer.
I love that. We can let our kids be kids for longer. Sarah, it is always a pleasure having you in our studio. To find out more about Sarah and what she does with the rest of the world and how she helps so many people, you have to get onto Clicked, and the details will be in our social media post. I'm Ilana, and this was another Baby Brunch podcast. A big thank you to our support.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.
The Curaprox teething ring with integrated training toothbrush helps your child prepare for the day they start brushing their teeth. The Curaprox teething ring also promotes the development of sensory and motor skills. Join the Curaprox movement. Let's celebrate a billion healthy smiles, which will result in a billion healthy bodies and minds, making oral health contagious.